Your agency might need to change the way it does business with the private sector. That's called procurement. A new rule in the Federal Acquisition Regulation aims to crack down on interagency contracts to prevent abuse. Others deal with firm fixed price preference and brand name specifications. Joining us with a rundown on what you need to know is contracting expert, attorney Joseph Petrillo of Petrillo and Powell. Mr. Petrillo, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
All right. So there are a lot of last-minute rule changes for buying. In your opinion, what's the most significant change?
Well, I think they're all significant. I think it depends on which sector you're in. So let me try to go through all three. We've got three new regulations coming out yesterday, and all of them are going to be effective on February 2nd. One deals with brand name specifications, the other with T&M and labor hour contracts and commercial acquisitions, commercial item acquisitions, and the third tries to manage the way interagency acquisitions are conducted. All three of them are attempts to cut down on or at least discourage practices that are considered somewhat dubious in procurement. All three are coming out at once, so there's going to be some impact here.
All right, let's talk about interagency contracts. What is OFPP asking agencies to do differently now?
Well, what they've emphasized here is that all of these contracts are going to need to be approved under a business case analysis, whether they're Economy Act procurements, multi-agency contracts, or GWACs, government-wide acquisition contracts. That's going to be a process that's going to be phased in through fiscal 2014. The contents of this business case analysis are not set forth specifically in the regulation. You're guided to an OFPP website link that tells you what's supposed to be in there. But you've got to include things like small business participation, contract administration and the costs, whether the contract will adequately leverage the agency's purchasing power and looking at the negative effect of diluting other contracts, the need for doing it this way, and the roles and responsibilities for contract administration and formation. The other aspect of this regulation is that for orders, every order under every such contract, there needs to be a finding that that's the best procurement approach for the requirement.
Mr. Petrillo, one thing about this new final rule in the Federal Acquisition Regulations Council put out is it's very similar to the OFPP memo that you mentioned about business cases. Have you had a chance to look at the two? How much do they compare? Is it just codifying, if you will, or putting into regulations that memo?
Basically, the FAR is just implementing the business case process that's put forth in the OFPP memo, emphasizing those elements that I mentioned.
Hey, we're speaking with Joseph Petrillo, an attorney with Petrillo and Powell. Now, this rule about firm fixed-price contracts coming from the FAR Council, that also seems to be just a reinforcement of something that OFPP has been pushing, which is firm fixed-price contracts. So tell us what we need to look for there.
Well, here, this regulation seeks to try to limit somewhat the use of time and material and labor-hour contracts for commercial items. It is going to apply both to federal supply schedule buys and buys under other indefinite delivery and indefinite quantity contracts. It requires a determination and finding by the agency that it's not possible to estimate accurately the extent and duration of the work or even to estimate the cost with a reasonable degree of confidence. The federal supply schedule buys also require market research and some steps about what's going to take place in the future to try to limit the use of T&M and labor hour contracts.
So this is talking about service buys, but things that might be repeatable types of processes, even though they are services, they can be fixed in price.
The issue is that the government's taking on added risk when the contractor simply is providing hours and not specific results for specific dollars. So agency's trying to limit these contracts to the situations where they're absolutely necessary. For instance, if contracts of this sort extend for longer than 3 years, they have to be approved by the head of the contracting activity. The regulation also makes clear that these contracts are neither fixed price nor cost reimbursement. They're some third kind of contract that It's third kind of contract type. It's described in the FAR. The FAR Council also declined to add level of effort contracts to this category. So they will continue to remain firm fixed price contracts under the FAR.
And let's shift over to the brand name specifications and final rule as well. One of the things about that is we've heard over the years that certain agencies tend to call out brand names. And you'd be almost saying, well, instead of saying tissues, you need a Kleenex. Instead of saying you need a soda, you need Coke, and make it easy on people to understand. But OFPP has tried over the years to stop this, and they've not been as successful. What does this rule do in terms of trying to, again, stem the tide of brand name specifications?
Sure. Well, clearly it's trying to make it harder to use them and to discourage their use. It looks like with three rules coming out yesterday that the FAR Council has been very busy, but before we get too enthusiastic about that, let me point out that these brand name rules were initially floated in a 2007 series of OMB memos. So and it's taken a long time to get this into the FAR. There's now required to be a justification and approval for all use of brand name specifications, including orders under the Federal Supply Schedule and IDIQ contracts. That justification approval has to be made whenever in the procurement process the requirement for a brand name is determined. So in some cases it'll be with the solicitation for the contract, in other cases in the solicitation for the order. And finally, the justification approval has to be posted on eBuy for FSS orders and on Federal BizOps or some other agency website for procurement in other cases. Now, posting it in some cases may lead to vendors protesting the determination that a brand name specification is necessary, protesting the justification and approval if a protest is available for that type of procurement.
Now, we just talked about the Air Force buying iPads for Special Operations Command. In the first round, they did a bake-off of many different tablets and then decided that's the one that best fits. So they're okay then in the second stage of trying to find the best price for the iPads, which could also come from multiple sources.
That sounds like it's an appropriate procurement approach. I mean, the danger here, of course, is that by specifying the brand name, you've limited competition.
Well, but they did an initial competition among many brands of tablets before settling on that one as the best one.
Yeah, and
so it sounds like they did it kosher.
That's why I think the approach you've described, which I'm not familiar with, sounds okay to me too, yeah.
Okay, well, Joseph Petrillo is an attorney with Petrillo and Powell, and there's a lot more we could talk about. We are out of time, but thank you very much for that update.
Well, thank you for having me.